time to go out and
hey everybody, it's the nightclub at the end of the world, alive, functioning in a very nice today, mild San Luis Valley in Colorado at 8,000 feet. The weather here has been bizarre, but it has been in a great many places around the country too. I have been coming to you with this radio show now for the better part of 3 years, and I just wanted to take a minute tonight to express to all of you who have been with me and all of you who are so loyal my deep gratitude, because this radio show really is the central part of my life, and I put a great deal of work into this, and I really care about it, and I connect with you, and I love the feedback, and I love the support, and I just wanted to pass that on. I'm being grateful tonight, because gratitude is something that you practice when things get really thick, and that's what they are. I want to take you through a series of horrendous stories that the mainstream media now is so absolutely twisted through the rabbit hole now as to be nonsensical. You have to almost learn how to translate gibberish and know where to look, but we're doing a good job of that. But there's just a whole lot of stuff that would have been front page news even 5 years ago that is getting overlooked now. A deep thanks to all of my Facebook friends, but most especially to Robin Westenra down in New Zealand, who has just been the most loyal, steadfast, wonderful contributor to this little family, this big family that we have on Facebook. It's been quite a week, and most of tonight's show is centered around activities that have taken place on Facebook this week, because we're really getting a good picture of what's going on in the world there more quickly than any place else. So I have to say I'm grateful that it's there. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just run through a lot of these body blows. We're all grown-ups now. We've been walking this walk together for almost 3 years, and we have not hesitated to speak truth and to speak unpleasant truth. So I'm not going to mollycoddle this. I'm just going to run through these, because what I want to do is to get through them so that I can get to a point with you tonight where I can share of the best teaching day that's ever happened in my life. It was like the consciousness that I've been trying to reach for all these years suddenly started blossoming in spring flowers. But there's a connection. In AA, there was a line: you get beaten into a state of reasonableness, or you know that you have reached a bottom when there's nobody left to blame, things like that. And the events that I'm going to describe to you now set the stage for the good part. So hang with me, because I think there's going to be something pretty moving for all of us to come out of this tonight. Okay, let's go. Well, listen, you know, the lid's getting ready to blow everywhere. We all know that. We all sense that. We look at the world around us and we go, how much of this can't go on much longer? You're right, it can't. But that the lid is blowing, there's a huge legal battle brewing between Kansas and Attorney General Eric Holder. The people of Kansas, it sounds like they're getting ready to secede. They've passed their own law saying they're going to make guns manufactured in Kansas and exempt them from federal law, and they're going to prevent any federal law enforcement. I mean, and there's nasty letters going back and forth there. That's just part of it. But so it's not just guns, though. Michigan has passed an NDAA nullification law. These pressures, these battle lines are growing intense, and we all know that something's got to pop pretty soon. Here's a few more reasons why. There was a good video that was put up on my Facebook page this week, GMO alfalfa, GMO parentheses alfalfa, the end game, our common roots, at our-common-roots.com. And it's a very powerful video. I couldn't agree with it 100%, because they made some really naive Canadian points, or just naive points, like there's still plenty of water and land out there. I don't think so. But what was very clear from that is that, and this was probably the best presentation of those facts that I've ever seen, that Monsanto and Kindred corporations have control of the three largest food crops in North America, those being corn, soybean, and wheat. Up to about 88-90% as a result of their ability to get their genetically modified, their genes from their seeds into the winds and get them into everything. And there's a great many other revelations in there that are extremely dark. Of course, we know that Barack Obama said you can't be sued. There's no right to do it. This is all about profit. But what has become clear now is that what's already in place is a mechanism, if not the primary mechanism, by which population reduction will be achieved. People who eat that crap are going to get poisoned. And we come back to an issue that that has been like the first issue for me for more than four or five years now, which is food sovereignty. When I found a collapse net, and after the documentary came out, that was it, number one. Of course, now we are fighting for the sovereignty of our consciousness as well. I recommend that video, GMO Alfalfa, The End Game, Our Common Roots. Okay, so now comes the awareness that, all of these crises are coming at us from every different direction at the same time. Not like a herd of buffalo running in one direction, but like, you know, 100 buffalo who are all fixed to mash horns with us in the middle. That's a good visual. Anyway, Channel 10, the ABC affiliate in San Diego, has been doing an amazing job on the San Onofre nuclear plant. And they actually got a camera, got pictures from inside. Now catch this. San Onofre, of course, has been shut down. It's fatally, fatally flawed, and they're trying to restart it. And Channel 10, San Diego, comes out with plastic bags, tape, and broomsticks are being used to fix leaks inside the reactor, reactor number two at San Onofre. Now they're just trying to restart it. They're trying to get a permit. Now, if they don't get to restart it, they will have to decommission it. Hoorah, let's hope that happens. But the insanity is, well, the insanity is everywhere out there. It's not just there. It's all around us. Major stories from the New York Times and ENE News about Fukushima this week. The TEPCO has just been barely treading water all of this time, and they are literally spent. But there's now revealed to be a melt-through with cracks in the reactors that are not likely to start leaking, and those leaks are pumping radioactive seawater into the Pacific Ocean. There has been a total lie, but there was a comment that TEPCO themselves may go under soon because they can no longer keep up with this. In other words, the situation at Fukushima is deteriorating, and it is already far worse than any of us had been led to believe. Now, if that's not enough to make you convinced the world's screwed up, Zero Hedge had a story this week. Meat or fake tuna, rat meat, is being sold as lamb in China. Pass the mint sauce. Yes, okay. Try to remember the world you used to live in. Now, some bigger stories. ClimateCentral.org, they've been doing very, very good stuff. The last time that carbon dioxide was this high on the planet, human beings did not exist. There were sharp, 100-foot sharks in the ocean, and it was, a whole lot hotter, and the sea levels were like 100 feet higher, and but all of these feedback loops, which Guy McPherson has talked about and we have seen so well documented, are apparently aggressively in overdrive at the moment. And that's getting worse, too. Of course, we've had some major weather issues. And there was a... hold on a sec. Well, okay. Here's a story from the Extinction Protocol, which I refer to a lot. They are very impressive. Spring disappears from northern hemisphere, the winter that won't end. Amazing data that the mainstream is not telling us about weather patterns. And I know here on May 1st in Colorado, it was nuts cold and windy. But there's massive snowfalls in the upper Midwest, through the Plain States and into Canada, which may be a cure for the drought that's raging down below, except for they're going to get all the water they've missed probably all at once when the snow melts. The climate is just turned on its head. The jet stream is torn inside out. As I roll through the heavy, heavy stories that were coming this week, I saw one story which just stopped me cold in my tracks. Now, I'm a peak oil guy, right? And tip of my hat to all of my teachers, Colin Campbell. Campbell, Rich Heinberg, Matt Simmons, Kendah Faze, Chell Alaklet, all of them. A UPI story came out of the Energy Information Administration. The Energy Information Administration says supplies up to 395.3 million barrels, an 82-year high. Now, first understand this, that the planet passed peak oil in 2005, so every year there's less oil available than the year before. 82 years ago was 1931, about the time that Japan invaded China, which I consider to be the real start of World War II. But this is not a surplus. This is not economic activity. This is hoarding. This is nothing else. And I'm certain that if we had Colin Campbell, or God bless him, I'd love to have Matt Simmons back on the show. Rest in peace, Matt. I know they would say exactly the same thing. And so now we look at that, and I just said, that's it. This is war. You're damned right it's coming. And the world, of course, is telling us that, and we'll wrap the bad events of this week before we get to some good stuff. And some of the seeds, the flowers that have sprouted from a mountain of bullshit, after we finish with a major toast and salute to Sibel Edmonds, Boiling Frogs, blogspot.com. Just Google Sibel, S-I-B-E-L, Edmonds, E-D-M-O-N-D-S. She's brilliant, and she called it so right with respect to the Boston bombing. That was nothing compared to the bigger issues now. And she said, essentially, using excellent analysis, that a deal had been made to turn Chechen separatists, which had been foes of Russia, backed by the CIA, into enemies of the United States. So this all gets blamed, and all these guys had. This is the backstory. Let's get to the big stuff. She said the deal was made so that Russia could now have a free hand to go after all of the separatist groups in the South Caucasus region. Chechnya, Ossetia, all of the regions down there, well, all the way down to Georgia. And they've apparently got that because, voila, this week there were two major car bombings attempting to kill Russian officials in Dagestan, which is where these guys were from. And so obviously now we have the stage sinking of the main 9/11, whatever, and Russia has the free hand in the region. And Sibel so beautifully said, looks like this is to give NATO, the West, a free hand for regime change intervention in Syria. And here we are. Two major airstrikes in Damascus. Damascus threatening to retaliate against Israel. Depleted uranium used. Syria stating it's an act of war. And now several major publications coming out and spokesmen coming out saying that if Syria retaliates against Israel, which they're making every sign of getting ready to do, it will instantly trigger a wider regional conflict. This is the conflict then which involves Iran, and Russia and China both bound to defend Iran, and bingo, it's on. I'm not quite ready to say that the big one is on yet. It all depends now, in my opinion, on what Syria does next. And Syria, of course, is in close collaboration with Iran, probably Russia as well, who loves to play both sides, and China. We look at the world around us, it is not difficult to understand how serious all of this is. So it really forces us to come to a focus on how we spend our energy and what we talk about. I've kind of come to believe that it's too late to change the way money works. It's all going to have to crash. I've come to believe that it is too late to do much of anything except for hope for, well, faith is a belief in things unseen, something unseen that will help us all reach a place where we understand, and maybe all 7 billion of us at once can say, this is nuts, we stop, we're through, we're done. That's what we hope for. But out of all of this, and as I scrolled back through the whole Facebook log for the week, I just said, oh my God, it's horrendous story after horrendous story. That's not being told out there, but there are so many of us who are aware, and we had great proof of that this week, and that's where I'm going to take us for the rest of the show. I am truly at a place where I don't know how many more shows there will be. And I haven't said that in all the 3 years that, 2 years and 8 months, 9 months that I've been doing this with you guys. But this is also the time when maybe the miracle happens. As Dave Crosby says, the darkest hour is always before the dawn. So that does kind of lead us to a place where it'd be nice to hear a really good song that kind of encompasses this situation. And it's one of my favorite songs in the whole world. And what it has to do with the fact that when the pressure's on, when things start to crack and when things come unwound, that it causes cracks in the meme. Believe me, the meme, the infinite growth paradigm is cracking wider by the day. And there's a song by Leonard Cohen, one of the greatest songwriters who ever lived. And you probably heard me use this quote several times on this show before, but this is such a perfect song to lead us into where I want to take us next, which hopefully will leave most of us smiling and even a few of us with some tears streaming down our cheeks. But anyway, here's Leonard Cohen, and the song is called There's a Crack in Everything. That's how the light gets in. Anthem.
They sing at the break of day. Start again, I heard them say. Don't dwell on what has passed away or what is yet to be. Yeah, the war, they will be fought again. The holy dove, she will be cut again. Bought and sold and bought again. The dove is never free. But still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. For signs, the signs were sent. The birth betrayed, the marriage spent. Yeah, the widowhood of every government. Signs for all to see. Can't run no more with that lawless crowd. While the killers in high places say their prayers out loud. But they've summoned up a thundercloud. They're gonna hear from me. That still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack
light gets in. You can add up the parts, you won't have the sum. You can strike up the march, there is no drum. Every heart to love will come, but like a refugee. Ring the bell that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a
Yeah, that seemed to hit the nail right on the head, didn't it? And that's kind of the place we're at. So who knows? There's a lot of wisdom in there. Leonard Cohen is such an incredible songwriter. Speaking about wise men, here's a quote from my three wise men. I would call them George Orwell, Terence McKenna, and Aldous Huxley. Here's a quote from Huxley. There will be in the next generation or so a pharmacological method of making people love their servitude and producing dictatorship without tears, so to speak, producing a kind of painless concentration camp for entire societies so that people will in fact have their liberties taken away from them, but will rather enjoy it because they will be distracted from any desire to rebel by propaganda or brainwashing enhanced by pharmacological methods. And this seems to be the final revolution. Well, perhaps there is an uprising underway. I want to take you guys on a journey with me for the rest of the show. We may take some calls later on about it was Tuesday or Wednesday of this week when these bad stories were just boom, 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 and everybody was groaning. And one of my great, wonderful, dear, beloved Facebook friends, Bradley Stanford, posted something which started everything, and it was a beautiful graphic, and it says, the greatest souls are awakened out of suffering. The most impressive personalities endure many scars. And I put this up, and it was just, the posting that went with it that said, suffering is not always a curse. Darkness shows us aspects of ourselves that need work, which may not have been exposed to us if the universe had not sent this suffering in the first place. The greatest prayer you could make would be not to ask the source or the universe to take the suffering away from you, but to instead have faith that everything that happens in your life is only happening to stimulate your spiritual evolution. Thank the universe for sending you that suffering to help you grow and evolve, but both spiritually and emotionally. All experience is a blessing and happens for a reason, so don't be afraid to feel it and learn from it. Well, bingo. All of a sudden, the whole Facebook page just exploded, and it was kind of like being in an Occupy camp where the exchange of ideas was happening so fast, and the change of consciousness, or the evolution was happening. There were all these people liking it, but then, so I made a post. I said I would rephrase to say that the scars teach and evolve the egoic mind. They lessen its grip, because as the personality evolves, the ego mind is weakened so that higher levels of consciousness have access. All mystical and spiritual paths acknowledge and say clearly that as the ego weakens, there is more room for light to manifest. As St. Francis of Assisi said, it is by dying to self that one awakens to eternal life. So this dialogue, it just got on fire, and all these people just started getting it about all at once. The messages seemed to come about going inside to find that consciousness, the power which is there, the spirit, the truth, the reality, as science has been telling us that consciousness determines physical reality. We know that to be a fact. We have to get there. How do we get there? We have to go through the shadows. And all of a sudden, everybody just started getting this all at once. And so we had like about 40 comments on that, which prompted me to go up and to make a posting that kind of kept this snowball rolling. This has nothing to do with religion. This has to do with spiritual truths that are now perfectly the same as particle physics and science, and confirming a lot of what we know, and the message that I've been carrying, trying to build here and grow here for a year, which is that apart from a spiritual approach, we're totally screwed, and that is so totally obvious now. So I posted a prayer by St. Francis of Assisi. Now, if you don't like Catholics, that's fine, but understand that the message of this prayer is found in all mystical teachings. It is a uniform message through them. And here's the prayer. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love, changing energies. That where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness, changing energies. That where there is discord, I may bring harmony, bingo. That where there is error, I may bring truth. That where there is doubt, I may bring faith. That where there is despair, I may bring hope. That where there are shadows, I may bring light. That where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting the consciousness that we are imprisoned in that one finds. It is by forgiving that one is forgiven. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Well, okay, I thought that was kind of bold, but they loved it. I mean, like 30 people clicked the likes. We had a whole bunch of comments off of that. So what was kicking in was not that I'm trying to convert anybody to anything. I am trying to share the knowledge that is becoming clear in the consciousness of post-petroleum human, that everything is connected, and that the energetic connections, this is going to get so much better as this evolved much, much more fastly, much more quickly than I thought it would. So in response to the comments to that, I made an entry. It said, from another thread, but very appropriate here, and the line of separation, the sharp edge of the blade of consciousness is where souls choose peace over or instead of superiority. The power of love rather than the love of power. Where souls choose unity over separation, the only thing that makes one seek superiority is fear. Love has no need, no desire to be separate. In fact, love and separation are inherently antithetical. I don't listen to New Age crap that implies or suggests that people can live in la-la land without facing their shadows. That's what Mother Ayahuasca, her vision quests, inipis, sweat lodges, inventories, amends, retreats, the sun dance, and all mystical exercise is about. Facing one's own shadows to achieve freedom. Let me say that again. And do you care whether it's spiritual or not at this point? If it works, what have you got to lose? Facing one's own shadows to achieve freedom. That's what the planet is refusing to do now. It's what the infinite growth paradigm is refusing to do. It cannot see itself. It cannot face its shadows. And therefore, it is craving death. For Mother Earth to heal, we must heal. And for we are her and she is us. In other words, the most powerful thing any of us can do to address the crap out there is to face and clean up the crap that is inside of us. The powers that were are defenseless against that. So huge, long series of comments, and people were just getting it. There was no resistance. There was none of those, pseudo-intellectual argument. No, it's people were just like flowering, and it was coming out of this enormous pressure. So that was it was a huge day, and. I want to look for a couple more things here. We are past the bottom of the hour. I apologize. So let us roll into a station break. Pardon my Alzheimer's, but I was just on a roll there. This is Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth on the Lifeboat Hour here on Progressive Radio Network. We're going to take a break, and I'll be back right away. That was Inner Reach, the title song from New White Trash's new album, Inner Reach. Doug Lewis has just uploaded a couple of more songs. We're going to play some more songs from the album in probably next week, I can say for sure. I'm just really kind of trying to roll with music that really knocks me down and strikes me as being appropriate. I have a great song, I think, coming up in the second half here. I'm going to run through one more little series of exchanges, but there were so many on Wednesday this week, or Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever it was. 100 years ago. But I want to roll with this, because what was happening as we were going through this day was like everybody seemed to get everything at once, and the exchanges were rapid. And there was a lot of love being shared. So I decided I was on a roll. I was going to go for it. So I made a posting of the two prayers that have governed my life, which have led me to this point since 1983. And I still live by them today, even though I'm no longer an active member of 12-step. But these prayers I posted, and I said, here are two prayers that have governed my life since 83. I still live them today and every day. Can anyone tell me where they're from? And the first one says, God, not to think of this now in terms of solutions to what's happening in the world. Think of this in terms of changing your inner energy and your consciousness and liberating your consciousness. And we know that changing energetic vibration is incredibly hard, redundant, deep science showing that consciousness is what reality is. And we have the words of all these wise men who've told us these days were coming. So here's the prayer. First one. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, ego, fear, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. Amen. This is dethroning the ego. It's the third step prayer from Alcoholics Anonymous. The seventh step prayer says, I am now ready that you should have all of me, good and bad. Remove from me every single defect of character that stands in the way of my usefulness to you and to my fellow man. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do thy bidding. Amen. Now, that prayer clearly implies that some of our character defects are useful to spirit. That's how we get led around. You know, it's the ring in our noses. So I put those up, and I was kind of skeptical about how they'd be be received. But boom, I mean, we had like 35 people like it, or 30 people like it. And then the comments started to roll in, and 12-steppers understood it. 12-steppers understand what it's like to be faced with death, insanity, or living a spiritual way of life. That's where the planet is. Death, insanity, or living spiritually, i.e., in connection with all living things and this planet. Okay, so now the comments started to roll in. And then somebody put up the full Serenity Prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr, which is also just rife with mystic, universally understood mystical spiritual truth, not belonging to any brand. You find the same same perspective, conscious perspective, in all spiritual and mystic traditions. So boom, the comments, just like 50, 60 comments. People started Googling quotes, and they started feeding back, and all of it was on the same message that we've been weaving here as a journalist, as a detective. This is what my lifetime of work has told me is the only thing that's going to work for us, and I'm not going to tell you anything else at this late hour. Now's the time for me to tell you exactly what I think is going to help, the only thing that's going to help. So we get down about 40 comments. The third step prayer and a seventh step prayer, not sure why. He goes, thank God, parentheses, a God of my own understanding. And I came back with Don Alejandro of the Mayan people, said it clearly, each should follow his or her own way according to their beliefs, traditions, and understandings. Everybody gets their own conception of God or spirit, and it evolves, grows, and changes over time. That is its ultimate beauty and perfection. So the comments just kept going. Now, Jack Caprio chimed in on Facebook. This is also a belief shared by the Hopi Indians. I know from having read some of your posting that you are very familiar with the Mayans and the Hopis. It's great that you bring the message out. So now all of this stuff is just flowing like a river. Like all of these themes are tying it. And so I wound up writing, I said, I am a messenger, and I have carried my message faithfully as a pipe holder carries a pipe. And that was given to me to see this day, this week, because I got to see this flowering, this understanding, this all of a sudden this self-continuing dialogue start to take off. And so I was deeply grateful. And so now I'm going to throw out a number, and if you'd like to call in, we got 15 minutes left. I've probably stirred some stuff tonight, but I'd like to know how what I'm doing tonight resonates with you, because I'm stumped. 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. Because all I can do is tell you now the only things that I think that are going to help. And here's my suggestion as we go to this. If it's true that fear and love are two different frequencies, two different energies, and it's the energies, the frequency, the vibration which determines our reality, and we look around and we find ourselves seemingly impotent to go out and challenge any of that shit in the world, then what is available for us then is to go within ourselves in our own lives and challenge the shadows where we find them. And this is the conclusion that I come to, having gone this ride with you all these years and come to this point, is that you may not be able to do anything in the world outside, but what I recommend that you do now is go find a shadow in your own life that needs correction. Find an amend that needs to be made. Find somebody that you've wanted to say I'm sorry to for a long time. Go to somebody that you've hurt out of nowhere. Clean up your own lives and face your own shadows, because what has become so crystal clear to me is that people will not face the shadows in the world because they are afraid to face their own shadows inside. And it is the spiritual warriors, and there are so many out here. I am not, you know, many much greater than me. But there are so many people who have lived that way and cleaned up their life. When I first got sober in AA, and I went through the steps, the ninth step was made amends. There were people when I was drinking alcoholically that I'd stolen from, stores that I'd worked for. I went back and made amends. I said, I stole from you. Here's the money. People that I hurt. And I've tried to live my life clean ever since, because it gives you freedom to see clearly. So we have a caller, Frederick from Satellite Beach, Florida. Frederick, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
What do you think of the show tonight?
Really awesome. I'm sorry if you're catching me a little off guard, but we're a little ahead of your live stream here.
Turn the volume on your radio down.
Oh, sorry. Hey, turn that down, man. All right, Stan, sorry.
Okay, go ahead, man.
Well, I mean, me and my buddy came out here. We're just sitting here listening to you guys' live show, man. That's just blowing our minds. Really, it's just the same stuff that we've been talking about over and over every day, day in and day out, all this false flag stuff and, you know, about consciousness and how everyone's just got to wake up eventually, you know, and it's happening right now, and it's just mm-hmm. so exciting to be in. And
it's visible, isn't it? You can see it, can't you?
Yes, Michael. Yo, I have no words to say to you except,
we are one, man.
Yes, that is so true. It cannot be ever more out there. You're like Michael Jackson to somebody who loves Michael Jackson. You know, I don't know what to say to you right now.
I've never been called Michael Jackson before, but I'll take that.
Yo,
I used to dance my ass off to Thriller.
I'm Cameron. I know you on Facebook, and I just asked you a couple questions earlier. I watch your radio show every day, or every time it's on, I'm sorry. But you are so positive, and it's like you're such a life force of greatness. It brings so much joy to everybody that I talk to when I bring you up in a conversation.
Wow, that's
tough. I think what my friend is trying to say is that we are just, you know, all about spreading the consciousness movement, and we are just, you know, so happy that you can, you know, go on and do your thing on the radio and just, you know, spread that consciousness and just, you know, make everyone aware.
You guys are blowing me away, man. I'm blushing. I'm kicking my toes together. But that is so good. I'm just so grateful to really have my teeth sunk into the fact that this shit really is happening. It really is. I've got calls stacking up left and right here. So let me just thank you guys so much for calling. You know, clean up your own shadows. Love something and stand back and watch. I'm watching people being slammed together, and it's like they've known each other for 1,000 lifetimes. It's really cool. But I got to get some of these other calls, man.
Yes, I'm going to talk to you on Facebook.
Cool, man. I'll be there.
You're the best, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. Those guys are gone now. Steph in New Hampshire, are you there?
Hi. It's great to talk to you. I'm also flabbergasted and like...
Is it Steph? Stefan?
Step, S-T-E-P, as in step four, take an intro.
What's up, brother?
I called last time and I asked a silly question, kind of, that had already been answered. Where's a good place? I came into this from the point of view of a radio listener. I have not read very much of your stuff except for YouTube and stuff, but I've listened and watched you for many hours, and I am only really a member of Facebook in hopes that I could become your friend, and I go there and your friend amount is full.
Yes, yeah. Well, I'm weeding those out. I'm actually deleting and adding about 8-9 new friends a week. So send in a friend request, and we'll get to it in the friend request. Message me that you heard me on the Lifeboat Hour, and next time I'm weeding out, I'll look for you. I've got four or five.
It's interesting. I've had radio epiphanies before in my life where I felt really connected
mm-hmm.
and like the messages going out kind of thing. And I seem to have started an open mic about when you started your show, and I've worked in radio in San Francisco, so I'm just really thrilled to talk to you.
Well, thank you for calling in, but I've got to get to Denny in San Rochelle and Bill in Connecticut. There's a whole bunch of calls lined up, and we're sort of running out of time.
Thank you.
Thank you, man, so much.
Bye now.
All right. Well, let's get through these. This is cool. Denny in San Rochelle, are you there?
Good evening, Mike. This is Denny in San Rafael, California.
San Rafael, it says San
yeah.
Rochelle here. Okay.
Oh, well, I'm about 30-something miles a little south of Sebastopol.
Yep, I certainly know where you are.
Yeah, it's a beautiful area of the world. And, you know, when we talk about where's a good place to be, I'm kind of of the mind that it's wherever you happen to be, in a way.
Especially now, yeah.
In a certain sense, it's almost like musical chairs. Where you are right now, if the music stops, that's where you are.
That's right.
And you know, wherever you go, there you are. That's kind of what I see. But what I wanted to talk about was the what I see over time is what appears to me to be a shortening gap between when these geopolitical events occur, such as the bombings in Boston,
yes,
and then when the news comes out about what's really going on there, the Tsarnaevs with their CIA connections,
mm-hmm.
and Catherine Russell's family. I mean, what the hell is that? And it seems to me the gap is getting shorter and shorter between these stupid things these idiots do.
Well, it's very, very clear, and this has been documented by a great many people. Joseph Tainter in his book Collapse of Complex Civilizations, but also in a lot of my writing, and complex civilizations fail spectacularly, and there is an acceleration of events. This is long described and well described. We've touched upon it here in the show, with the change of the ages, the change of the energies that are taking place on the planet, the evolution that is taking place. We can expect them to get faster and faster and faster until we can't keep up, and that's pretty much where we were this week.
Yeah, there's so much junk in the sewer now. Even a Capitol building full of elephants sitting on the manhole cover can't keep it all in. And, you know, it seems like more and more people are waking up that this is following a pattern. It's
yeah.
exactly the same pattern as September
yeah.
11th. Look at the people involved. Why were there FBI agents looking for a bomber?
Well, okay, Boston is still, in my opinion, a side issue. Boston was the pretext that was used to prepare the way for the intervention in Syria, which is underway now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's all coming down at once. I'm going to take one more call.
Yeah.
Denny, so thank you so much
God
for calling.
God bless you.
And thank you.
Yeah.
And let's go to Bill in Connecticut. And Bill, you're going to be the last call because I'm going to play a song after this.
Actually, this is Josh from Connecticut.
Josh. Okay. it says Bill. Never mind. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Mike. I'm just happy to hear from you again. I was actually the one on Facebook that requested a show about Native American traditions around hunting.
Oh, thanks for bringing that up. May the 18th, I will have Sal Gencarelli. Don't get confused by the Italian name. He is a powerful Lakota medicine man from the Godfrey Chips family, a very long-established medicine family in Native American spirituality. He'll be on the 18th of May, so write your questions down, man.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And I would just like to comment and say that, you know, this whole gun issue thing is becoming so palpable that I hope that gas prices and a civil war doesn't break out before I get a chance to come out and see you on the solstice this year.
Mm. So, well, I'm going to be at the Sundance on Pine Ridge. I've been invited up there, and I have committed, and nothing's going to keep me away from that. So I'll be at Pine Ridge on solstice.
Excellent.
Go ahead.
Oh, hope to see you there.
All right, man. Very cool. Thank you for calling so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, so clearly you can feel the energy shift when we got into this. It's like, and I really perceive it. And the first guys that call from Florida, man, I have a friend who talks to me like that sometimes. And anyway, thank you all so much. And it's the reward for me to hearing people getting it. And so we hope that continues, and we believe in miracles. Miracles can happen without your permission. That was another great 12-step line that I was given. Now, I'm going to go into our second song here, and Leonard Cohen was great at the beginning because he kind of described the situation that happened when all of this beautiful flowering and hope and awareness started to flower out of consciousness. And again, I have to tip my hat again to Aldous Huxley, George Orwell, and Terence McKenna. They have just been, they were so right on, and singing the same song. But for the second song, I thought, well, gee, after Leonard Cohen told us how the light gets in and described the situation where it was when all this stuff started to happen, maybe a song that gave us a vision that blended, that explained in the song. What I've been trying to say for a year here in my writings, that science and spirituality, science and shamanism are meeting, prophecy is meeting the present, and all of these things are dialing in, and we are still coming back to one conclusion. There is no separation, and it is the illusion, delusion of separation that is the source of all of these problems, and that's the consciousness that needs to change. And so what would it be like to live in that place using the scientific evidence that we have, using the spiritual evidence that we have, using the fact that anything in that world is failing utterly, miserably, totally, and all they can do is do, as Derek Jensen might say, they do more of what doesn't work harder. And it's obviously not working. So here's a vision that I think meshes nicely with the lessons that came out of this great teaching day this week. And it's a song called Great Spirit, and the artist is called Nahko, N-A-H-K-O. It's a beautiful video. You should watch the video on YouTube if you have a chance. But here is Nahko doing Great Spirit.